Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here at WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can download the Odyssey app anywhere. You get your favorite apps, just go to your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store, look for the Odyssey app. It's a big orange background with a big white A in the middle of it. Download it, search for WILK News Radio or stations near you if you're in the area. Favorite us, and then you got us. Anywhere, any place, works seamlessly with your CarPlay. Check us out. You could also get us anywhere now on iHeart Media platforms, iHeartRadio, anywhere, anytime, any place. So more people, more places to listen. How's everybody doing on this Wednesday, July 9th, 2025? Hopefully the storms weren't too bad. A little wet up by me, but nothing crazy. Yesterday. I expect a little bit of the same today. We'll have some rain coming through the area, maybe tomorrow as well. But it's 309, 83 degrees as it stands right now. Hopefully you're having a good week so far. We are through the middle of the week, Wednesday, hump day. The rest is downhill from here. We have it, and we're going through the rest of the week together. So how's everybody doing? Hopefully you can get involved with the conversation today or at least listen. 570-883-0098. Couple of things going on, and it's interesting that, I watched most of the Scranton City Council meeting today on ECTV this morning. I did not get a chance to watch it last night. Now, a lot of people coming out about this new parking authority agreement that they're trying to get, and I don't know who's drawing this stuff up, but if you're in favor of... $200,000 a year, $2 million altogether back to this parking authority because they can't seem to manage their own house in order. It's just ridiculous. Listen, if they can't handle this, take it back. I get it. It's not for everybody. There were a couple speakers last night that said some of the experience of some of the people running the Scranton Parking Authority now is they've parked in a garage once. And that's what happens when you don't have people with the proper skill set, the proper business plan, and the proper financial background to manage an entity that's millions of dollars. It's as simple as that. And it was interesting because a Scranton City Council member, Mark McAndrew, mentioned that, hey, you know, we can't take care of our own potholes. So I understand why we can't take care of our parking garage infrastructure and management of it. So why would we want to take it back over? Well, there in itself, and he's identified the problem. You have the wrong people without the experience to do the positions that need to be done. Scranton's a medium-sized city. It's interesting that they can't find someone to take the Director of Public Works position. What, no one wants to work for Mayor Page? I thought she had national contacts and she was, you know, recognized in the... You know, by these mayor organizations across the nation, she was sitting at round tables. She was part of the former president's economic team. But she can't get someone to work as her director of public works. Don't understand why. Can't just put my finger on it. But this whole debacle, thankfully you had members of the college community come out, members of the business community come out and say, you know, putting the burden and expanding hours, the whole purpose of the walkability study, expanding businesses downtown, inviting the area to come in, tourist destination, is to get people there. If you're going to start banging them over the head for parking fees, expand hours, and expand days that you're going to be hitting them over the head. And again, these systems are not run by skilled professionals. That's the bottom line of the job here. So that was one of the major talking points yesterday. And it was funny because there was a motion to table because they didn't even have a full Bill King, city council member, was not there. So they did not have a full platform of council members. So I believe it was Mark McAndrew who said, let's table this motion till everyone's here, till we get a little more information, have more questions asked. They had the head of the parking authority there that really couldn't answer questions, had no metrics of what the numbers were. As far as usage, I drove by a parking lot once. That was pretty much the answer that he gave. These are not the people we should have running our assets here in Northeast Pennsylvania, especially a city the size of Scranton. But I get what they're saying. You know, Mark McAndrew hit it on the head. Hey, we can't manage, you know, our own pothole systems. We're going to manage a parking authority. Just look at the bases. They want us. They want They want the city of Scranton to power wash the assets every other year, take care of some maintenance problems, and we're going to pay them $200,000 a year extra on top of what they make as far as a profit, which doesn't seem to be much, but as far as a profit that's paying salaries and such like that, because you know they're taking a cut of that. It's not all going to the city. You mean to tell me for $200,000 a year, you can't find a group of five or six individuals, including parking attendants, parking enforcement, a director, to run this operation? That's what you're telling me. And combine it with our police department and our code enforcement. Yeah, there could easily be a plan if you had the right people running this. But like most things that the mayor or the administration wants to ram through city council, it's last minute. They don't have all the information. They put management heads there from the parking authority that really can't answer basic questions like how much usage did you have last year in this garage? How many usage did you have in the city streets in this square block area? It had no metrics. I don't have those numbers. Well, why are you here? Not only why are you here, why do you even have this position? So if you live in the city of Scranton, I would pay a lot of attention to this. And what's even more telling is the last time I heard a peep about it in the local newspaper was last Friday. Last Friday, it was on the front page, I'll give you that, and they brought up the story. But you would think, since it was at a pretty early meeting last night, early in the evening, they would have something in the paper today, and I did not see it. Maybe they'll put something online. Maybe something's online. I haven't checked it in the past 2 hours. But you would think that the paper of record for the city of Scranton would be a little more on top of this whole issue, interviewing members of city council, interviewing the head of the parking authority, interviewing the mayor, interviewing business leaders who came to speak. And a lot did, and a lot made a lot of sense. And again, when you don't have a business plan, when you don't know what you're doing, when you have no experience in running this type of operation, it is bound to fail, and that's what it's doing. So if you are a resident of the city of Scranton, if you have a business in the city of Scranton, I highly recommend you start paying close attention to this, because this is an entire debacle. And listen, I'm not suggesting you let the loans go into default, but take the asset back, get proper personnel in place to run it in management, and do it right. Because in a city the size of Scranton, with manufacturing and businesses and everything coming here, like they said, there's private parking lots that are doing it for a lot less that are packed each and every day. How come the city entity that should be doing it the best, should be doing it the cheapest, isn't? And those are the questions that truly need to be asked, and hopefully fix a broken system, because that's what it is at this point. More money thrown at it is not going to fix this system. So earlier today, I took a little dive into this SNAP program. You know, SNAP's been a big topic of contention because, oh, these people are being cut and SNAP benefits are going to be reduced, and the difference between SNAP and WIC. So, you know, I did a little breakdown on criterias for SNAP, who qualifies for SNAP, what are the thresholds, and how much do you get for SNAP. And I found out a few things. Luzerne County is ranked number 5th in the state for the amount of SNAP recipients, percentage of SNAP recipients. Lackawanna County's 10th. Now, the top 10 are Philadelphia at 30.2%. So 30.2% of Philadelphia residents receive SNAP. Fayette County, 24.3% is next. Cameron County, 21.8%. Erie, 20.7%. Luzerne County, 20.3%. Greene County, 20.2%. Lawrence, 19.7, Cambria, 19.3, Blair, 19.1, and Lackawanna rounding out the top 10 at 18.8. So I broke down how many people in your household, if you qualify for SNAP, and what the income, the gross income that you could make to qualify is, and what deductions can you deduct from that. So SNAP households may receive deductions from their gross income for things like housing costs, child or dependent care, medical expenses of more than $35 for older adults and people with disabilities. If you are a single person, you have to have a monthly income of less than $2,500. If you are a family of four, that's $5,200. If you're a family of six, it's almost $7,000. So here, when you start crunching those numbers, again, Luzerne County ranks fifth in the state for SNAP benefits, Lackawanna ranking number 10th. Income limits for a family of four, when you break it down, is $62,400 per year. But there are deductions like housing costs, childcare, Medicare expenses that could increase this limit to $90,000 for a family of four. The maximum benefit for said family of four is just under $1,000 a month, $975 per month, or $11,700 per year. And the question I asked was, should a family of four making $90,000 a year depend on almost $12,000 of taxpayer-funded food assistance? Are there individuals that need SNAP? Absolutely. There absolutely are. But pouring money and expanding these programs have only created an atmosphere of dependency, and changes need to be made to salvage these programs for those who do, in fact, need it most. And I'll ask you again, if you have the proper write-offs, if you are paying housing costs, if you're paying for childcare, if you're a family of four and you have one kid in childcare, you can potentially be making up to $90,000 a year, but getting almost $12,000 in taxpayer food assistance. As far as the fraud and abuse in the SNAP system, it's rampant. I could take you to places, and in 15 minutes, you'd see widespread fraud and abuse of the SNAP program. Not only, and that's not even getting into the type of food people are buying. Sodas, sweet treats, things that really shouldn't, when they talk about nutritional value and, you know, you don't want kids to eat. Well, you know what? I don't want kids to get orange soda and cupcakes. No, I don't. Sweet cereal instead of a healthy breakfast. No. Like WIC, there are restrictions. SNAP, there are none. But I can also show you using those SNAP cards, those EBT cards, and getting into Lexus SUVs and Mercedes SUVs, using two or three cards for family members that live with them that are on paper struggling. But they're really acting as a nanny for a wealthy family, giving that wealthy family their input for SNAP. So again, just running the numbers, and I put copies of it right from the website of who's available, what the write-offs are. And if you're a family of four in Pennsylvania with the proper write-offs for housing, child care, and medical expenses, you could be making up to $90,000 a year. Now, obviously, you have to prove these, but I think we can all prove housing, right? And that was based on, for a family of four, $1,200 a month in housing cost. That's it. But the fact that Luzerne County comes in fifth in the state and Lackawanna County comes in 10th in the state is something we should also look into. So there's a little benefits. It doesn't get into, you know, too much specifics, but just the criteria of how qualified. And it's also listed, you know, if you're a family of two, you can make $3,400 a month. If you're a family of three, $4,300 and $4,000 a month. And again, family of four, $5,200 a month. That only comes to $62,400 per year. But when you add deductions for housing costs and childcare and everything else, you could be making upwards of $90,000. And with those write-offs, with those deductions, it might bring you down to the threshold of $62,400, therefore qualifying you for almost $1,000 a month in food. Now, sure, we could all use $1,000 a month in food, right? I think $1,000, well, a family of two wouldn't be that much. A family of two for my house would be $3,400. I'm sorry, that's not true. Family of two would be $536. That's the income threshold is $3,400. The maximum benefits for two people is $536 a month. Again, the maximum benefit for four people is $975 a month. And that's for the household. So, again, I'll ask you the question. Are there people who need SNAP benefits? Absolutely. But do you think a family of four that could be making up to $90,000 a year, depending on almost, should depend on almost $12,000 in taxpayer-funded food assistance from you or I? Something to think about. I'll let you be the judge. It's 3:23 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. So a Susquehanna County man has stole more than $100,000 from ATMs, as per detectives. He repeatedly stole the money from ATMs in the region while working as a service technician. Kenneth William Van Gorder of Kinsley went to service ATMs even though service calls had not been placed and removed cash from them, according to a criminal complaint. Video surveillance shows him removing the money at ATMs at multiple locations, totaling more than $100,000. Tried to avoid detection by reprogramming the ATMs to make it appear they contained less cash, but the company that owns them can track reprogramming attempts. CCJ Ventures LLC, Upstate Amusement LLC, filed a complaint with the Lackawanna County District Attorney's Office and Scranton Police Department regarding the thefts. Owner Christopher Pisano said the company uncovered approximately $500,000 in thefts from ATMs in Lackawanna County since July 2024 and identified Van Gorder as the suspect. Specifically, he said he removed money at an ATM in the Troop VFW every Tuesday, detectives said. Lackawanna County detectives conducted surveillance at the VFW on June 24th and saw Van Gorder enter the property at 5:05 p.m., even though there wasn't a service call. He opened the ATM, removed a cash box, and appeared to put something in and left in his rear pocket. When Pisano reviewed the log for the day, he determined Van Gorder removed $2,000 from the ATM. He was hired in February of 2004, was given a black 2019 Hyundai Tucson to use on business calls. On June 26th, the GPS tracking was placed on his work vehicle. He accepted three service calls, but only completed the one call. Van Gorder also traveled to three locations on June 26th where there were no service calls and removed a total of $10,000 from the ATMs. Investigation analyst from Citizens Bank in South Abingdon Township told detectives he deposited $8,000 on June 26th into an account that was flagged due to multiple large cash deposits. ATMs at the Fawn Lake Beach House, Hawley, Sidelines Bar and Factory Bill, ShopRite at Daleville, Covington Township, AJ's Bar in Carbondale, and Bigsy's Bar and Grill in Forest Street Tavern, Scranton, were also targeted, according to the criminal complaint. Again, this has nothing to do with those locations. This is the technician for the ATM machines, basically stealing his own company's money. Investigators believe he used a company-owned cell phone and two business apps to provide him with detailed information for the ATMs owned by the company. The suspect, who is accused of these crimes only, remains in Lackawanna County Prison in lieu of $750,000 bail. They charged him with dealing in the proceeds of unlawful activity, theft by unlawful taking, and access device fraud. My first question was, if this has been going on since February, well, he was hired in February 2024, they realized $500 in thefts from ATMs in Lackawanna County since July of 2024. So almost a year investigation to finally nail him. Seems excessive, but I'm glad he was finally caught. And again, it doesn't appear that any of the public is any way a victim here. It's the company itself that was the victim. So he was stealing from his own company. So no one has to worry about their identity or anything like that or money being taken from their accounts. That was not the case here. It's just cash being taken out of the ATM storage to dispense cash. So good job by all involved. Looks like it's buttoned up. And now that they have the bank deposits of the suspect into his own bank account, hopefully conviction will not be soon to follow. Will be soon to follow. It is coming up on 3:30. Well, it is already 3:30 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 3:36, 84 degrees on this Wednesday, July 9th. So just weeks after receiving President Trump's endorsement, Pennsylvania Representative Dan Muser is opting out against challenging Shapiro, as per sources. At a rally in Pittsburgh in May, Pennsylvania Republican Dan Muser received the most powerful co-sign in Republican politics, an endorsement from President Donald Trump in the upcoming gubernatorial race. He has been a great congressman, Trump said of Muser, and his top allies in the state. If you run, you have my full support and you will win. And people are going to get it real fast. But after months of speculation, Dan Muser has recently told associates he will not enter the race to challenge Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. Three people with knowledge of his conversations told ABC News. He delivered the news to Trump on Saturday over the phone. Someone familiar with the call told ABC. White House spokesperson declined to comment. The decision from Muser was declined to comment on the article reflects the challenging environment Republicans could face in the upcoming midterms and competitive states such as Pennsylvania and against popular Democrats such as Shapiro. The fact is Josh Shapiro is going to be reelected governor of Pennsylvania. It's not a question of if, it's a question of how much, predicted Philadelphia-based public affairs executive and a Democrat, Larry Kessler. Shapiro has and will have a very large campaign war chest, added, venturing that Muser doesn't feel like being a sacrificial lamb. Well, I think the Democrat and public affairs executive from Philadelphia is maybe stretching it a little bit. No doubt, Governor Josh Shapiro is popular with his base, but he does carry a lot of baggage, and there will be challenges. Now, one of the challenges may come from Treasurer Stacey Garrity, who's seriously considering a run. Hasn't made an announcement yet, so let's make sure we understand that. But she has more votes in the last election than the governor did. Matter of fact, she had more single votes from Pennsylvania residents than anyone else on the ballot when she ran, and that includes for Senate, that includes for all the row houses here in the state. In a statement, Garrity told ABC News, "Congress Muser is my representative, and I truly value the strong relationship we've built over the years. I commend him for his principled leadership in Congress and devotion to the people of the 9th District. I will have an announcement about the future of my career in service very soon," she added. So we might hear one way or another. Again, she has not. Also weighing a bid is State Senator Doug Mastriano, who would be running a second time. The Republican nominee for governor in 2022, whose election did not turn out. Obviously, we have Governor Josh Shapiro at this point. He has floated a campaign in public radio interviews in recent weeks. But again, we have yet to hear a solid decision from either of them. I would guarantee there is going to be a Republican challenge. If it's united or if there's a primary, I do not have that answer for you. Looking up to this, and I was just having this conversation a week or two ago with some individuals, that the last thing any Republican needs, especially in Pennsylvania, is a nasty primary. And I did not want to see Congressman Dan Muser or Stacey Garrity or Senator Doug Mastriano fight it out in a primary. So hopefully they can come to a conclusion who's best for the Republican platform for Pennsylvania. It is not going to be an easy battle. Josh Shapiro is popular, but he's also promised a lot of things that he hasn't delivered. And one of the mainstays of his last election, school vouchers for one of them, has kind of went silent. You know, the fact that he's depended on this budget that is still nowhere to be found. A large portion of that was the legalization of marijuana sales, and that does not look like that's happening. So where does it stand at that point? And it's interesting that he's traveling all around talking about the big, beautiful bill when his own big, beautiful budget is nowhere to be found here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And regardless of his political views or the way he leans, someone in his position should be sitting down with leaders from both sides in Harrisburg on a daily basis. You are going on 2 weeks late now. Nothing new for Pennsylvania. This would be the fourth delayed budget. But sooner or later, there's going to start to be freezes. And it's going to start hurting more and more people. We've already talked about the school districts who really can't solidify a budget or are guessing because they don't have numbers to go by. So if he wants to be the leader he claims he is, not come on shows and spout rhetoric like he often does, that he cannot back up a lot of the times. And I prove that by him coming on this very station and saying that, the VA was laying off bunches of nurses and they were going to fast track them. Well, not only was that not true, because I had a statement from the Secretary of VA saying not a single nurse giving care to our veterans has been laid off, but when I contact the governor's office to ask how many nurses were hired due to the fast track from the VA, they can't give me that number. Probably because it doesn't exist. So, yeah, I have my doubts, and I will continue to bring them forth. It's 3:42 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. So a local bank donates water and snacks to local fire departments. I love stories like this. Firefighting, and anytime there is an active fire scene, anytime there is an event for our fire departments, they have to set up a rehab. So the firemen could be cared for. They could be rehydrated. They could be given oxygen. They could be cooled down, especially in hot environments. So firefighting is thirsty work, especially in the heat of summer. The Dalton Fire Department reached out to the public asking for bottled water. PS Bank employees answered through the bank's Water for a Worthy Cause initiative. The business set up a water station Tuesday at their 223 Northern Boulevard Business Center. About 10 local departments brought fire vehicles to be loaded with bottled water. The bank also provided snacks for firefighters, including granola bars, trail mix, crackers. Dalton firefighter said crews can remain for up to 6 hours when a call to the scene for a fire. Snacks and water help get them through those intense times. It's great to see people from community helping out. We're all about the community. It doesn't get better than this. It doesn't take a business to only do this. It doesn't take a call for help from our fire departments to do this. When you're out shopping, if you're at one of the big box stores, Sam's Club, Walmart, you're at your supermarket, what's a case of water now? $5? 30-pack? Pick up one or two cases of water. Pick up a couple cases of granola bars, a couple of snacks, something that healthy snacks that you think they could eat while they're on the go, something they can just get a grasp. Gatorades, if you want to spend a little more on it. The little Gatorades, perfect. Something, no junk food, nothing like that, but something to get them going. Listen, I'll give you a little something from Navy football, something they loved on the sidelines. Well, the offense was on the field, the defense was on the bench dealing with their coaches. Skittles, little sugar boost. They loved the Skittles during the change of offense and defense, to keep them going. But granola bars, things like that, power bars, and water. You could do that. And I highly recommend, if you have children, and I don't care how old the children are, but if you have children under 16, you're at the store, your little kid goes to the store with you. I'm going to give you a little secret. I'm going to give you a little parenting tip, and I think I can do that given my history. Buy a case or two of water. Buy a case of granola bars. Take your kid to your local fire station. Have him go in, him or her go in with you. And or have the fireman come out to you. And have your children involved with that. Show them your philanthropy. Show them your gift, your donation. Show them your support for your local first responders. I guarantee you those men and women of the fire service, from the EMTs to police, will take the time, will give your children some special attention. It'll be worth tenfold than the, you know, the $10 or $15 you just spent on a couple cases of water and a box of granola bars. And do it every once in a while. Do it once a month. Think about that. You know, if a few dozen people in a community did that each month, our fire members wouldn't have to put out a call for help, wouldn't have to put out that this was happening. So get it done. Jake, it's too late for Bloomberg, or can we cut into it? Okay, we can go to 55. So it's great that PS Bank did this, and I give them all the credit in the world for kicking this off. But let's play this forward. Let's not just make it about a few businesses or a business doing the right thing. And I'm glad that this was published by the Times Tribune. Geraldine Givens did a great story on it with some pictures here. Actually, she took the pictures as well. But everyday members in the community, make this a point and make it a learning experience for your children. You know, if you're a teacher, you know, send a note home with kids. Hey, we're going to make this collection and we're going to donate to our local fire department. Invite the fire department to your elementary school, to your middle school, to your high school. Make it an event. Make it a community bonding situation. I just don't like to see where members of our fire community, you know, are out there saying, hey, you know, we need waters for rehab during these fires. And if you look at some of the fires and some of the things they've dealt with over the time and the storms that they're out there, listen, there's no time out. We need to have something to eat. You know, we need to have a drink. You know, you may have a minute or two. You're overheating. You get your turnout coat off. You get your helmet off. You're pouring a bottle of water over your head. You know, you're drinking half of it. You know, you're getting a quick snack so you can get back in. Because like they said, sometimes they're at these scenes for hours. And it's rehab. It's common to be set up at every fire scene because they have to watch the health and safety and well-being of their officers, of their men and women, of their crews. The least we can do is make sure they have the proper resources. So make it a learning experience for your children. Make it a learning experience for you. Do something. Feel good to where you know, your kids are involved and they see that. They grow up with that. You know, I remember one of the memories I had for my kids, and my kids were, you know, leaning towards going into the military already. And we were out here in Dixon City, and there were members from the National Guard there. You know, eating five or six of them. You know, and I quietly picked up the tab. But my kids saw that. Now we left without any recognition. I didn't want anyone else to know. I mean, obviously my waitress knew. But, you know, my kids saw that. And to this day, they bring it up every now and then, how that stuck with them. And it doesn't have to be to that extent. It could be just, you know, two cases of water, if that's what you can afford. A case of water could make a difference if that's what you can afford. If you can afford a little more, get a couple cases. Get a couple cases of granola bars, you know, $5-6 at your Sam's Club, where there's 30 of them in a box. And, you know, go there, and if you don't want to lug the cases of water in, I get that. Just go in and say, hey, you know, someone here, I got a couple cases of water and some granola bars. You know, my family and my kids want to give you. Can somebody come out and grab them? I'm sure they'll come out and grab you. I'm sure they'll say, hey, do you want to come in and see the fire truck? Do you want to see things like that, if they're able to? Make it a great experience, because that's how you raise great children. That's how that kind of thing sticks with them. And I guarantee you do that once, twice, maybe three times. That little guy or girl in your back seat, next time you're shopping at Weiss's or Walmart or Wegmans, will be like, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, can we get cases of water for the fire guys, fire girls?
then you know you did it right. So let's make this a pay it forward type event. Let's make this a learning experience for our kids and get them into it so they understand the concept that we do what we can for our first responders when we can. Doesn't have to be a lot. We're not putting our lives on the line. We're not running into danger. But we have their support, and we are going to support them when they do by these little acts of kindness, these little acts of donations, philanthropy, and instill that in your children from an early age so they grow up like that. And believe me, it will stick with them. It will. I promise you that. So let's pay it forward. It's 3:55 here at WILK, time for the Bloomberg. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. 84 degrees coming up on the 4 o'clock hour here. I believe it was last week I was talking about how I took a moment to just stop when I was walking my son's dogs, all the fireflies that were all over the place. So many people call them lightning bugs, fireflies. I guess I call them lightning bugs when I was a kid too, but fireflies seems more mystical, right? Well, Pocono Record actually did a story. Are you seeing more lots of fireflies in Pennsylvania? Here's what's happening in rural areas. Basically, the weather has created a perfect environment for fireflies or lightning bugs to flourish. So there's more of them. They are hatching at a larger rate. And there's a 13th annual PA Firefly Festival was held in June 26 to 28. At the Kellettville campground to celebrate it. But basically, it's a perfect environment for them to hatch and flourish, and that's why we're seeing more of them. And I definitely did. I thought it was just maybe I wasn't outside at that time because, you know, I had no reason to be. But it appears that fireflies have making a comeback this year thanks to the weather we've been having. So at that time of dusk, get outside. Enjoy it if you're in rural Pennsylvania. And enjoy the moment. It's coming up on 4 o'clock here on WILK News Radio. We'll be back after the news break.